Good morning, everyone. We miss you, every single one of you. We can picture your faces and your smiles. We imagine walking down the aisle and seeing you in your favorite pew, hearing your voices lifted up together and in song, and then the best, greeting you one-on-one as you make your way back out into the world. I will never take going to church for granted again. We cannot wait for this glorious day when we are all together again as a family of God. In the meantime, know that you are loved and cherished and prayed for. Let us pray. For this day, Lord, we give you thanks. However unusual it is, let us rejoice and be glad in it. There is so very much to be grateful for. Help us to see not what we are missing, but all the abundance of good that you surround us with to give us hope. On this day in which we honor moms, Lord, I ask your blessing upon us all. On women who want to be moms and are having trouble finding a way. On moms who struggle each day to feed and clothe and protect their families. On moms who worry about their children. On moms that just didn't have it in them, and the children that suffered for it. For those who gave up their child that they might have a better life, and for those who have suffered the loss of a child, wrap your loving arms around us and give us peace. Calm our hearts and our minds that we might hear your word. And now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If there is one thing that I know for sure, that I'm absolutely positive about, is that we all long to hear those three little and yet powerful words, I love you, I love you. So simple and yet so powerful. Those three little words can knock out a world of self-doubt, a world of worry, a world of loneliness. And as any smart kid knows, those three little words can get them just about anything that they want. Because to a parent, that is nothing that makes your heart happier than to hear the words, "Love you, Dad. Love you, Mom," and so it is with our Heavenly Father. Like many of you who have been separated from your loved ones, Tom and I had been separated from our firstborn son since the stay-at-home order went into effect. Jack has severe autism and lives in one of our church's group homes. We are blessed with an amazing staff that take care of him like he was their own. He and his roomies love living in their frat house. And they've become like brothers to him, and the staff like family to him and to us. The quarantine is in place to keep them all safe and healthy, but the problem is Jack is nonverbal, and so we can't tell what he's thinking. And as each day went by, and with each day that he didn't see us, he started to get more and more anxious. He kept looking out the window and wondering why he wasn't going to his day program, and wondering where his mom and dad were. After several days of this, his wonderful staff started to worry too. He was unsettled, pacing, and breaking out in a rash. We tried to FaceTime with him before we went to bed at night, doing the same bedtime ritual we had done together since the day he was born. Tom sings him a little song. Jack and I say the Lord's Prayer back and forth, line by line. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. I do the benediction on his forehead. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I sing an Irish lullaby, and then we'd say, "Love you, Jack. See you tomorrow night. Well, after getting over the curiosity of his old mom and dad's faces on an iPad, the routine seemed to calm him and remind him that even though he couldn't see us in person, that we were still with him. This worked great for about a week, until it didn't. He no longer smiled. He no longer wanted to say the Lord's Prayer. He just kept looking sadder and more confused until the night he broke. We had gone through our whole ritual, and then he leaned forward into the screen and with a look of great angst said something he'd never said in 28 years. "Love you, Mommy." It was as if he was asking, "Did you forget about me? Why aren't you coming to see me anymore? Did I do something wrong? Do you still love me?" We quickly said, "Love you, Jack," and then ended the call so he wouldn't see me crying. In our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus too had been separated from those that he loved. Shortly before his death, Jesus sat down with his disciples. He couldn't tell them exactly what was going to happen. He didn't tell them he was going to be crucified. He just wanted them to know that no matter how long it was before he saw them again, that he would see them again, that everything really would be okay. Jesus addressed his friends in the most endearing of ways. "Little children, I am with you only a little while longer. Where I am going, you cannot come. I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming back to see you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid." Jesus did, of course, leave for a while. And when he rose again, as promised, he went to find them. And where did he find them? Fishing, of course, perfect for this opening of fishing weekend. Jesus watched them from the shore throughout the night, and then just after daybreak, he shouted from the shore, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" "Not a bite," they replied. "Well, cast the net to the other side of the boat, and you will find some." The fishermen did as he asked, and the nets overflowed with fish. A miracle was performed. They opened their eyes and saw that the man standing on the shore was indeed their friend Jesus. He did not leave them orphaned. He returned to them as promised. They were all gathered together again. And then Jesus turned to Peter, his friend, his disciple who, in the face of fear, denied even knowing Jesus. And he asked him, "Do you love me?" Three times Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Three times. And Peter replied with those three little words we all, even Jesus, long to hear, "Yes, I love you." In that moment, his betrayal was forgiven. Water under the bridge, he was a beloved, forgiven child of God. Like Jesus and his fishermen friends, we are all separated at one time or another from our loved ones. Now, of course, because of the pandemic, but other times too. Busy schedules, distance, divorce, arguments, words said in anger, hurt, fear, and pain, all separate us from the people that we love. Our gospel challenge for the week is this: when the separation starts to wear on us, reach out. When the bridge between us seems impossible to cross, my hope and prayer is that we take a lesson from Jesus and his disciples and say those three little but powerful words, I love you. Healing begins when we let go of fear and have the courage to reach out and to connect. That night that Jack leaned into the screen and said, love you, Mommy, is a moment I will never, ever forget. I cried myself to sleep that night, praying to God to give me an answer. I woke with one thought and one thought only. If there was even the tiniest, most remote possibility that Jack thought we had left him, that we no longer loved him, it was too much. That very night, as we tucked him into his childhood bed, Tom sang his song, Jack and I said the Lord's Prayer together. I sang, Tooraloo-ra-loo-ra, did the benediction on his forehead, and said, love you, Jack. He didn't say it back. That was a one-time gift of the pandemic, I guess. But I knew, he knew, that I loved him. And that was all that mattered. Happy Mother's Day, everyone. I love you, your church loves you, and Jesus loves you even more. Amen.